A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set up, and the Ancient One took his throne. His clothing was bright as snow, and the hair on his head as white as wool. His throne was flames of fire, with wheels of burning fire. A surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriads upon myriads attended him. The court was convened, and the books were opened. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. Verbum Domini. Reading from the second letter of St. Peter. Beloved, we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory. "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. Moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Verbum Domini.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up a mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face was changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen Son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The transfiguration of our Savior Jesus is a pivotal event, looking both back and forward in very important ways. On one hand, it looks as far back as the Exodus. Moses and Elijah appear here, and it's good to ask why. Remember, both of them had gone up Mount Sinai, and they met the Lord there. Moses when he received the Ten Commandments and the other instructions on how to live out the life of Israel. But Elijah made a pilgrimage there after Queen Jezebel tried to kill him. And he also was there when there was an earthquake, a storm, and fire. And he met the Lord in a still, small voice. So meeting God on a mountain is common to both of these. But there's another aspect. On one hand, Moses is the giver of the law. Elijah is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, of the prophets. In fact, he and Moses are both called men of God. This is a technical term for a prophet through whom God also does miracles. And we saw, if you go back to Exodus and Numbers, you see the many miracles God worked through Moses, as well as with Elijah in the first book of Kings and second book of Kings, chapter 1 and 2. You see a variety of miracles happen, including feeding of people by both, something that Jesus will do. And a variety of other, even raising the dead in the case of Elijah, and the healing of a leper in the case of Moses, his sister Miriam. So these are all pointing, but it's also the law and the prophets standing there, symbolized by Moses and Elijah, giving witness to Jesus. And when the great architect Barlucci built the present-day church of the Transfiguration, there have been churches there going back to Byzantine church. You still see parts of it. The Benedictines during the Crusades had a big church there and monastery. And now the Franciscans have a church there. And when the new church was built in, I think, the 60s or 70s, Barlucci made the roof of the two towers and the roof of the nave to look like tents. Peter never built those tents. Barlucci did. And he did it in such a way that the nave is centered on Jesus. That's the tent for him, and it's higher. And then under each tower is a chapel. On one side, a chapel for St. Moses, another for Elijah. So these are, you know, things that look back. And there's two other places where it looks back that help connect this mystery, this luminous mystery of the rosary, with two other luminous mysteries. It goes back to the baptism where the Father spoke for the first time and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then at the wedding feast of Cana, Jesus' mother says, "Do whatever he tells you." Here, the Father again speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." So that in the luminous mysteries, we see not only the great love that Jesus receives from his Father and from the Blessed Mother, but also the command by his Mother and by the Father to us to listen to him, to do what he says. So these are elements of the past that are pulled forward in this transfiguration. But the transfiguration also looks forward to other events. Notice that only in the Gospel of Luke, St. Matthew and St. Mark don't mention what our Lord said to Moses and Elijah. Here, St. Luke mentions it. And they talk to him about his exodus. That's the Greek word, and that's the word that they use in this translation very correctly. What is he talking about? The Exodus he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. And here we can see very important parallels to the future events. On one hand, in Gethsemane, the same three disciples will be there as our Lord Jesus speaks to his Father about the coming Exodus, not to Moses and Elijah, but to his Father. And asks, take this away, but not my will, but thy will be done. And again, especially in St. Luke's gospel, we see that an angel was sent to comfort him, but only one angel. We see also that that Exodus refers not only to his agony in Gethsemane, but it points to his passage, his Exodus, from death to eternal life. So that the crucifixion is one of the elements given in mind, and both for the crucifixion and the agony. This moment of the transfiguration is a great grace of comfort to strengthen Jesus for what will come. He knows that the Father would glorify him. He knows that. He knows how pleased the Father is with him at the transfiguration. And this will be a support as he endures the agony where he sweats blood, as St. Luke says, and when he's crucified. He needs that, and he'll speak to the Father again on the cross. But what he'll speak is, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. So that this conversation with the Father at this time of great consolation in the transfiguration points to the way that will support him when things are really, really painful. Just for our own spiritual lives, it's important for us to remember the times of consolation we have. When we've had tremendous graces from God, we remember those when we are going through desolation, when we're going through difficult times in our Christian life, when things seem to go badly. We remember the graces to sustain us. Because beyond that, we also see that the Exodus points to Christ resurrected. And notice that there are a couple angels at the tomb. Just as there have been two witnesses to the transfiguration, it'll be two angels. And then the same with the ascension, as Christ ascends to the fullness of the glory of heaven, two angels appear to Peter, James, John, and the other disciples. So all of this is in mind. It's a sweep forward. And we remember how this comes together in many ways with the transfiguration. But we also learn from it that life gets difficult and sometimes is filled with tremendous graces of great peace. But there are also times where things are really tough. And that ebb and flow, that the waves and the troughs of life in the spiritual growth that we all need to go through. This is a great support for us, as it was for Jesus and his apostles.